We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning, happy Saturday to all of you, and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics.
School's getting close. First Saturday in August. I'm sorry, summer's starting to come to an end.
Oh my goodness, yeah, the summer fun is coming to an end, and our kids aren't ready to go back quite yet, but ready or not, here it comes.
Well, if it's any comfort to you, not only the kids are not ready to go back, but my wife's a principal, and she's probably not ready to go back either. And I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I don't even know who you are. Who are you?
I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in that beautiful part of South St. Louis. Southwest corner of Francis Park.
Do you get paid for that? Do you get paid for that?
I should, shouldn't I?
The tourist bureau over there give you money to talk about how nice it is.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Francis Park.
Come see us.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and I don't get paid anything, but it's a nice place to live, New Athens, Illinois, St. Paul's Lutheran, Trinity, and Darmstadt. If you're looking for just small town life, Darmstadt is the place you want to go. So, big city life, I have nothing against that with Ascension, but Darmstadt, a town of 500 people, so it's a little different experience. No Ted Drews in Darmstadt.
No gas station in
Darmstadt.
No
gas station. We used to have a bar, but the bar is even closed. That's how small the town has gotten.
You know it's a small town if there's no bar. And that's something. bar, maybe gas station, post office sometimes, but none of those things.
But there's a church there. In fact, there's United Church of Christ.
Yeah,
Holy Ghost is there as well.
Yeah.
So we got plenty of
Christians. It's a great place. And our daughter, Anna, she is wanting to move out to the country once she gets older. She's told us that already. She's not sure if she wants to live in the mountains or where, but she wants to be out in the middle
out
of nowhere.
Where
she has some elbow room. Room to breathe. But she's only 6 years old, so she might change her mind. Who knows?
It could. And maybe you would let her out of the closet sometimes. She might not
Holy
have that.
Holy cow.
All right, so here we go again. Opening joke, Jeopardy. Again, not necessarily a joke. Could be amusing anecdote, humorous story, or interesting trivia. Boy, we've really kind of knocked the numbers down, but there's still a few categories available, Matt.
Okay.
Laughter is the best medicine. Opposite words. Latest technology. And yes, we still have not done bad joke number one.
Well, you are a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I don't mean to interrupt you, but...
Okay, go ahead.
Update on the vegetable conspiracy?
Oh, yeah. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, because I really think there's going to be some scientific evidence that vegetables are not good for you. Well, this doesn't necessarily have to do with how good vegetables are, but they have discovered that vegetables feel it when you eat.
What?
This is the honest to God's truth. They've done studies, and when like little caterpillars get on like the leaves of vegetables and start chewing on them, they feel that. The plant knows that that's going on.
Quit
so I'm thinking
making things up.
No, this is the honest to God's truth. So I'm thinking if they can feel the little caterpillar, what must they feel when we take a big bacon club sandwich and bite down on it. Next time you have a salad, listen carefully. I think you can hear them screaming real quietly.
Quit making things up.
What?
So all you vegans out there, think about that.
You will do anything out of eating your veggies.
Oh, I never thought about it. Yes, kids, here's your... I can't eat that. It's going to hurt it, Mom.
Yeah, Mom, you don't want me to hurt my vegetables, too.
What are the green beans?
Yeah, the pickle's going to feel it.
Okay. Anyway, but they are, again, bad joke number one, latest technology, laughter's the best medicine, and opposite words.
Well, you are, even though you're the older half of the show here, you're up on technology. You really are. You're a happening guy when it comes to that. So what latest technology, what do you got for
us? Well, I've been scanning the internet, and I thought you'd appreciate this, because, you were talking about your daughter. She likes to be outdoors.
Yeah.
Have you ever been out camping, and you wanted to look up something on the internet, and your laptop is out of power, right?
All the time.
Yeah. Are you're out there? Here's an even better example. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, I have.
All right, so you're going down the Grand Canyon, beautiful scenery. You want to take pictures with your iPhone or your whatever phone you have, and your phone battery's dead.
Oh.
What would you do in those instances?
Sketch a picture, I guess.
Yes, you could do that. Are you
buy a postcard?
You could buy my latest invention, which is the donkey solar powered battery charger.
What, the donkey solar? Yes. So what's solar powered? The donkey or the charger?
No, I've taken a donkey. I've developed this solar powered pack that will fit on the back of a donkey.
Okay.
I have it with me here. Oh, darn it, I didn't bring the donkey. Matt, would you mind just leaning over for the sake of the listeners here?
I'll be your donkey. All right.
Let me put it over your shoulders there. Okay, how's that fit?
That's great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a little heavy, isn't it, Matt?
A little snug.
But not for a donkey. And you plug your phone into this, and you're set. Anywhere you're going down the Grand Canyon, you got your donkey with the solar-powered pack on it, and you're set to use your computer, use your phone, whatever else you want to do.
And how convenient.
Exactly.
Quit making things up.
Well, and again, see, you'd think that was made up, but that's the honest to God's truth. They have that now. There are shepherds somewhere. I can't remember where in the world they are, but this is how they power their electronic things.
Right?
By having the donkey solar powered battery chargers. So,
how nice.
You learned about it first here on Wrestling with the Basics. Go down to Best Buy and ask for your solar-powered donkey battery charger today.
And tell them we sent you.
That's right. Okay, man, we really are getting bad in the category, aren't
goodness.
We? Scratch off latest technology.
Well, you know, this is the third show we recorded. I think we're starting to get a little loopy.
That's right. Bear with us, like you say. It's been a long, long day. And a long, long time for the listener, too.
I know.
But back to the fruit, the fruit of the Spirit.
That's
right.
There's no time for foolishness.
Thank you, Matt. Jesus last week told us that this is his intent. He's going to give us this word of God's love and forgiveness, and it's going to bear fruit, he says, 100-fold, 60-fold, 40-fold. And again, if it doesn't seem like it's working, just believe in God. Just trust him. He's still speaking that word of forgiveness for you, even as you're wrestling with your struggles and the temptations of the world and the hardness of our heart. But that seed's there, and it's going to do. You know, that's his promise. I was thinking that was the text that goes with that parable of the sower. My word does not return to me empty, he says.
Oh, yeah, from Isaiah. That's beautiful.
But provide seed for the sower and bread for the hungry. So either way, if you're hungry, if you feel a spiritual hunger, there's that word of God and his love and forgiveness. That'll feed you. And if you're the guy looking to bring people love and compassion and forgiveness, there again, that's the perfect seed for you to sow as well. So what is the fruit now? What are we up to?
On fruit number three. That's hard to say. And our fruit of the Spirit, again, like you said, that seed of God's word is sown. And for those who believe, connected to Christ, who have been connected to Christ through water and the word, as branches connect to the vine, we bear fruit. And so the fruit we want to talk about today, among those, that fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit of peace. Fruit of peace.
Peace, man.
So, oh, no. It's going to be a long episode, isn't it?
It is already.
Can I share? We don't normally do this. Can I share with you a news article? This is from the Omaha World Herald.
Okay.
And I want to share this because it talks about this tornado, the twin tornadoes, actually, that northeastern Nebraska in a town called Pilger was kind of the one that was most devastated. Just terrible. It's a town of about 350 or so people, but 75% of the town just wiped out.
Oh my goodness, wow.
If you can imagine, 75% of your town just gone. There are two deaths, hundreds of injuries, just devastating. We're in the time warp of radio here, but as I'm recording this, we have a group from Ascension that's going to help with relief efforts
up
there.
Oh, how exciting. How nice, Matt.
Because what happened is, from the tornadoes, there's debris everywhere, including the farmers' fields. And from what I understand, that debris needs to get out of those fields in order for the farmers to harvest the crop. They can't go in the fields with their combines with all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, because that would ruin the combine.
Exactly.
And now, see, there's something that we don't think about. We think about the buildings being destroyed and everything, but the destruction that it actually brings to the whole countryside.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You know, to the livelihoods of those farmers and to those that they feed to, not to mention those folks and animals that count on that. So anyway, excited to send a group of volunteers from Ascension and thankful for them giving their time and energy to do that and pray God's blessings upon their trip. But what I wanted to share, though, is an article from the Omaha World Herald that talks about a Lutheran church in Pilger, St. John's Lutheran Church, and it talks about what happens during their first church service following the tornado.
Okay.
As we talk about the fruit of peace. It says, arms outstretched, head bowed down, the Reverend Terry Makelin faced the borrowed altar and the rectangle of churned dirt and debris that used to be his home. The altar with borrowed candelabras, a cross found on the church wall, still standing, and a communion chalice bent back into a standing position, sat on the floor of what used to be the St. John Lutheran Church office in Pilger. The congregation of about 100 residents, members, and sweaty volunteers sat on metal folding chairs under two tents on the church's front lawn Sunday afternoon. To the east, a concrete slab, the only indication of the church that once stood, a lone strip of crimson carpet on the altar, shards of blue stained glass, peeling linoleum, pooling water, no walls. A cornfield littered with snarled grain bin carcasses, mounds of splintered wood. A parking lot to the south, now home to two orphan grain train trailers. And then get this, the bell tower, fractured and needing repair before the tornado. Remained intact.
Is that right?
So that remained standing.
Yeah.
So a man in work boots and jeans and a black tank top climbed a ladder, tapped the bell with a hammer to signal the beginning of the service. Pastor Makelin welcomed the people. Peace be with you, Makelin said. And the people responded, and also with you.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was kind of a moving article. So the question is, in the midst of that devastation, they're surrounded by not much, no walls, certainly, not much else is left standing, many of their own homes destroyed, and yet they can still say, peace be with you and also with you. Yeah. So what is that type of peace? That type of peace that would enable them as Christians, enable us as Christians to say, peace be with you. Even if our homes or church were destroyed, even if we go through different tragedy and sickness and loss in our lives or in the lives of someone we love, how can we still say, peace be with you? What gives us that ability? And it's that fruit of the Spirit. That phrase, peace be with you, it's part of our liturgy, part of our worship service, and we say it almost every Sunday. But I think it's important to recognize those words, that phrase isn't just something pastors made up because it sounded good. Those are words that have been around for centuries, and they were first spoken, really, in another time of apparent loss and apparent tragedy. They were first spoken, you know when?
Yes.
That's Sunday after Jesus' death, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. First thing he has to say to him when he shows up.
Yeah.
Peace be with you. And again, I say peace that Easter evening as they're all gathered together.
So that Easter evening gathered together, many of the disciples still thinking that Jesus is dead, maybe not believing reports that he could be alive. Doors locked because they're afraid of the Jews, we're told. They're scared. And yet Jesus comes and stands among them, even behind those locked doors, and he breaks their fear-induced silence with those beautiful words, peace be with you.
You know why those words were probably particularly striking to the disciples that evening? You know, talk about the destruction of the tornado and how that would seem simple. How can there be any peace in that? But consider this. Shortly before Jesus Christ was suffered and died, he said unto his disciples, he said this, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before in heaven.
Yeah.
You deny me before men, you'll be denied before heaven. And then the very next thing he says is, I haven't come to give you peace. I've come to bring a sword. Okay. And I've often thought how those disciples must have felt when they did deny the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
One of them, you know, betrayed him. The others abandoned him. Peter literally denies him three times. And how, when they met Jesus that Easter evening, they must be thinking, oh my God, now he's going to come and he's going to tell us all kinds of horrible things. He's going to bring the sword to us because of the way we acted and the way we treated him. And yet, you're right. The first thing he says to him is, yeah, peace. You didn't get a worldly peace. You got a sword, didn't you? Division and hurt and evil and wickedness and my death on the cross. But I did all of that so that I can now stand before you, even though you did deny me before men, and tell you, nah, I have no intent to deny you. I just want to give you peace. And I love it, the fact he says, and again I say, peace, as if maybe we need to be reminded of that.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he comes not with a sword and vengeance, but he comes with just pierced hands, pierced side.
Yeah.
And he really is Jesus who had died for them. He really is Jesus who's now alive and lives for them. And that brings peace.
But don't you think that's the problem, Matt? When you have these things like these tornadoes, I think our natural human reaction is to say, oh, what did those people in that town do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of evil and wickedness was going there that God would send that church? There must have been something wrong about those Christians that God would punish them like that by destroying their building.
Yeah.
And we think of that about ourselves a lot of times, too. What did I do wrong? Why is God? And it's hard to help people understand, no, that's not what this is about at all. This isn't. Well, it is. It is. It's always the wrath of God against sin. And yet at the same time, in the face of that wrath of God against sin, even as with the disciples, he comes and says, peace.
To not keep asking the question why did this bad thing happen, why this tragedy happen, because we don't know the answer ultimately, but we do know, well, we know it's because it's in the world, like you said, but ultimately why that particular place, why that time, we don't know. But what we do know are those promises of God, and so that's what we hold on to during those times. That's exactly why we can still say peace be with you and also with you. We can still talk about that peace. You know, and I think of Jesus. I mean, he's honest about that. John 16, he says, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yes.
There's going to be tribulations. Yeah. There's going to be tornadoes. There's going to be heartache and loss. But he continues to take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah, see, that passage about, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Yeah. It's kind of a puzzle because elsewhere Jesus said, you know, I am the peace. Mm-hmm. My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you.
Yes.
But again, in that verse, the same thing. Not like the world gives, though, he says. Yeah. If you want to look at it from a worldly standpoint, no, you will see nothing but division and trial and the sword. But you're right. I've still come to give peace.
Yeah. And I think Jesus' resurrection in particular gives so much peace because, you know, in the face of tornadoes or, you know, unrest we hear about in the Middle East constantly, and, you know, unrest in the Ukraine now, and even in our own, you know, neighborhoods here in the U.S., we know that because Jesus is risen from the dead, he is overcome. He's overcome death. He's overcome the devil. He's overcome all things. He's stronger than any tornado. And so in him, we can find that peace, knowing that, the victory has been won through him. So that's, you know, in the midst of those things, we can say, peace be with you because of that Prince of Peace who's overcome all things for us.
And, you know, I'm thinking what a beautiful thought that is, because so you've experienced this tornado, and if you're going to work it the way the world does and it's worldly wisdom, you got to think, well, then what do I need to do differently? Obviously, there's something wrong that I got to change. Whereas the teaching of Jesus Christ would be, no, just trust me. I'm going to get you through this. I have given you my peace. And all you need to worry about is just like the people in your congregation, is there somebody you can help here? Is there somebody you can show love and compassion to? Go do that. By the way, you don't need to do that for me to love you, but do it because I already have loved you. Yeah. So these things are not about God showing his wrath and anger at us, but it is about God giving us an opportunity to trust in him, to have his peace, and also then to love the people who are probably without earthly peace at that point. Yeah. So,
and that's why I love this story, too. In the midst of this tragedy, it's not like the people say, well, we got to try something different now. That didn't work, what we were doing before as a congregation. No, what do? They gather together around God's word, around the sacrament, and they continue to receive that forgiveness. They continue to hear God's word. They continue to be together in Christian community, and they can still say peace.
And what a neat thought, Matt. I hadn't thought about that. Nothing's really changed.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, we need a plan B here. This didn't work. We got a tornado. No.
The word, God's sacraments, they're still here, and they will remain with us even though the building itself has been destroyed.
And that's kind of a nice illustration, too, that it's not about the building. It's not about that physical structure. It's about God's very real presence there in worship, and it's about the people, the church itself, you know, the people of God. Yeah. So peace in the midst of those troubles and tragedies. But I also wanted to just touch on that idea of a different kind of turmoil in our lives, one that probably won't make the news headlines, but just our own sinful selves.
Yeah.
We're at this constant struggle as Christians with that old self, and we sin and we fall short of God's glory, and it doesn't give us any peace. You know, and really the reality of the matter is, as long as sin remains, as long as sin that's unrepented of, there is no peace. We carry that burden around with us. We're burdened by that. Really, only the forgiveness of sins can ultimately bring peace. You know, so one thing I wanted to look at, and time's growing short, but I'll just briefly touch on it.
Sure.
But that account where Jesus goes to eat at the house of a Pharisee, and an unexpected house guest shows up, and it's a woman who's called a sinner. The Pharisee knows who he is. Let's see, Luke chapter 7,
I got it,
verse 39. The Pharisee says this as he sees this woman, you know, this sinful woman crying and wiping Jesus' feet with her hair and anointing his feet with this ointment. And this is what he says.
Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this sinful woman and the way she's treating Jesus, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." I'm going to keep reading on, Matt.
Yeah, no. So, okay. I mean, he kind of puts the woman down. And then, long story short here, Jesus, you know, turns to the woman and says, you know, you Pharisee Simon, you didn't, you know, anoint my head when I came in, but she's anointed my feet. You know, you didn't kiss me, but she's been kissing me. And then finally, we're going to skip down to verse 47.
Okay, verse 47 says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little."
Yeah, and keep going.
"And he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" I see where you're going here, Matt. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
"Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Peace. So there's that peace where we're building up to. But here's this woman whose sins, Jesus acknowledges. He says her sins are many. You know, she is really burdened down. She doesn't have much peace. And I suppose she could have gone lots of different places to look for that peace, right? Or maybe she could have just ran away to be by herself. She could have, you know, just been self-righteous. Or she could have just made a lot of money, maybe, at what she's doing to she doesn't have to worry about peace. Maybe she'd think. But no, she goes to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And where this woman finds peace and forgiveness is the same place that we find peace today, and that forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, her Savior, and ours too.
And, you know, Matt, see, this is bringing me back to where we started, this whole idea of the gift of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry, I keep getting those mixed up. But that the basis of all these things, the love and the joy and now the peace, is all back to the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like this is some kind of separate thing that God is going to give you, but it is the consequence of, you said, us being the vine, being connected to us being the branches, rather, being connected to the vine is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus gives us is simply that, the knowledge that we have God's love and we have God's forgiveness, and this is the fruit then that flows from that.
Yeah, it does. It's just, it all goes back to Jesus. You know, the one who is love incarnate, who's joy incarnate, peace incarnate in the flesh, and the one in whom we have forgiveness so that we can have those fruit of the Spirit. And so our Savior also says to us, as he did to that woman, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace.
And so even if our struggles and trials are the result of our sins, we can still have peace, knowing that God has forgiven us that, and he'll even work that together for our good.
Yeah, yeah. We create that unrest, that chaos, but he is the giver, the creator of peace.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great. Well, see you next week on Wrestling with the Basics.